Selamatatan semuanya. I'm Alan Hallowell, and this is Indotechno. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 13 of the Indotechno podcast. Now, according to a report by Charities Aid Foundation, Indonesia is considered the world's most generous nation. The application of technology, moreover, over the past several years has been critical to broadening both the base of donors in the country and, on the other side of the relationship, those truly in need. Kitabisa started the category as a crowdfunding platform, similar to other leading platforms globally, such as GoFundMe. Bikra Ijaz, Chief Executive Officer of Kitabisa, has kindly agreed to join us to describe the company's progress in this space. Bikra, great having you on the show.
Hey, Alan, thanks for having me. The pleasure is mine.
Fantastic. Now, Bikra, there's really only one question that I thought would be suitable to kick off our conversation, and that is why. Why are Indonesians the most generous globally?
That's an interesting question. I believe there's various factors that contribute to our six consecutive years, I believe, of earning the top spot in the World Giving Index. Part of it, I believe, is religious and cultural influence. I think us culturally being a very collectivist society and also strongly religious, 87% Muslim, but also strong with other major religions. And all these traditional wisdoms teach us to be charitable, teach us to take care of one another. And I think the core value that inspires Kitabisa is what's known as gotong royong, right? Collective action for something good. And I think this is part of the reason why Indonesia remains strong as the most generous country.
In many ways, I was almost asking it rhetorically, because I have to say, from more than 2 years of visiting Indonesia almost on a weekly basis, the first thing that strikes you is the warmth and generosity that you see in almost any instance. But I really appreciate some of the other elements that you mentioned, which I wasn't as readily aware of. Now, Bikra, it sounds like you follow this survey. You really have to for your job, but what other countries have a similar emphasis on and tradition of giving?
I think the list is very interesting because it's a mix of both developing and more developed nations. So if I take, for instance, I think last year, so 2022's list, there's countries like Australia, New Zealand, the United States, but there's also more emerging countries like Sierra Leone, Ukraine. So really, I have no answer to that. I believe it's back to that. The Charities Aid Foundation. But I strongly believe, as human being, generosity, kindness, it's a common thread and trait inside all of us. It's just, I think, different ways of expressing it makes all the difference in terms of all the weightings and the rankings for the index.
Fascinating. We could easily go off the rails and just spend the rest of our session talking about some of these other countries in the ranking, but I'll bring us back on point here. So the following question is definitely not to the majority of Indonesians who are likely very familiar with Kitabisa, the company. But for the benefit of overseas listeners, tell us about Kitabisa, maybe first starting with its vision and mission, and then characterizing the features and functions that we offer today.
Sure. So Kitabisa is essentially an ecosystem of helping each other, a tech-enabled ecosystem for people to help one another. We started off as a social crowdfunding platform. So it's very much the GoFundMe of Indonesia for you out there. Must be familiar with GoFundMe. We have a crowdfunding platform, which we then evolve into more of a daily habit type of donation app. And nowadays we've expanded to multiple services, which I think we'll chat more about later. But interestingly, a lot of people don't know that we actually started off as a social project. We were incubated under a social enterprise here locally called Rumah Perubahan, translated as House of Change. So it started off really as a social project, which then eventually found its footing more as this tech-enabled ecosystem.
I must say I had no idea of its origins as a social project. Now, Bikra, how did the practice of giving change during the pandemic in terms of growth rates, common uses of Kitabisa, et cetera?
We've all seen this as a trend throughout the pandemic, the adoption of technology, the adoption of mobile applications. So we also experienced a spike in terms of user adoption on our mobile app. So during the pandemic, 2021 is in fact our highest ever year, like still our all-time high in terms of donations collected and also users that are actively transacting in that year. So after 2021, I think the trend normalizes It's still growing, but it hasn't reached that level yet. So 2020 and 2021, the peak of the pandemic is also for us, we saw the peak of people being generous and wanting to help one another to the best of their ability.
So I guess there is one or two silver linings to what many people otherwise view as a period that they'd like to forget. So that's a fascinating trend and it makes eminent sense. Now, I believe the company is roughly 11 years old. Looking back, what have been the most unpredictable changes as Kitabisa, whether it's new business lines, unanticipated geographic expansions, headcount growth over this period?
So our most recent development is we just acquired a life insurance license. This was something unplanned and unprecedented for. We never had any of this plan in our old business plan. So I think what was unexpected about it was because we, back in 2019, just before the pandemic, we initiated a program, what's known as mutual aid globally. So essentially donors can help one another, they pool funds together. And if any of them are sick with certain illnesses that are listed, they can ask to receive some support, some cash support from that pool of fund. 2 years onward, we acquired a little over 700,000 members, pooled over $1 million of donations from one another for them to protect each other. And I think this was also significantly impacted by the pandemic because we listed COVID-19 as one of the illnesses where they can ask for support. And 2 years later, the regulators stepped in to veto that such program needs to be run with an insurance license in mind. So we had to close it down. We tried working with several insurance or insurtech company, but it was challenging to really replicate the model just being a third party. So that's why in the last 1.5 years, we were working to fundraise first and foremost and try to go to the market to acquire an insurance license, which thankfully, after this 1.5 year journey, we acquired end of last year.
Yes, in September 2023, I believe it was, you indeed acquired a life insurance company, Amanagita. How exactly is Amanagita positioned in the market versus traditional life insurance companies? I realize that the transaction is still pretty fresh, but does or will the average Indonesian view it as something unique? Or is it ultimately simply a better life insurance offering in today's environment?
So coming back, because we never intended for ourselves to become an insurance company or run an insurance business, we saw the move to be more strategic to re-enable what we were doing then in the program, which we called Saling Jaga, translated to like protecting each other. So the acquisition of Amanagita, they were one of the company that happened to be available and for sale in the market. But interestingly enough, they're also, I think, the smallest life insurance company in the market. So all the better for our limited resources back then. So we had to raise. But post the acquisition, now we're strategically placed to develop a stronger ecosystem of what I mentioned before. Kitabisa is an ecosystem whereby you can help and protect each other, starting from fundraising, then donation. Now we also have insurance, which at the core, essentially insurance is a bunch of people, like a community of people, pooling resources together in anticipation of future uncertainties or future risks or like future calamities. Whereas in the last 10 years, we've helped people reactively or responsively through crowdfunding. Now we wanted to invite people to be more strategically helping one another proactively before any such risks or calamities fall into them. And that is now facilitated through insurance. So that's how we see the strategic role of this license acquisitions. Also, the name of the company, we rebranded to make it more straightforward. Now it's called Asuransi Kitabisa, just Kitabisa Insurance. And the main product, instead of saying it insurance, we say Saling Jaga, or like mutual protection.
Got you. So can we say that the very face of Kitabisa is undergoing change in the wake of this ambitious acquisition? And if so, how is it changing?
I don't feel like we're changing our identity as much as we're expanding the service we're providing for the people. So the Kitabisa mission of digitizing Gotong Royong, digitizing that collective action for the mutual benefit of the community, of the society, is still very much the same. Our purpose to become the bridge for people's kindness and generosity, that's still the same. But now our service line is expanding, again, coming not only limited to a more reactive or responsive type of aid, but being more strategic and prepared for future risks, which is facilitated license-wise through insurance. We again don't see insurance as something that is disruptive to how people view Kitabisa. If anything, it strengthens and complements the existing services that we already provide to the public.
Frankly, it's gratifying to hear that you see more consistency than might initially meet the eye and that you view it as much more of an extension of what you guys currently do. Because in my 20-year career in investment banking, studying companies, they sometimes can be very diluted to the acquirers or even the acquirer's initial mission. And it sounds like this instead is quite synergetic. I wanted to just ask you some of the basics. Tell us what the scale of the Kitabisa platform is today in 2024 in terms of maybe annual transactions facilitated, the number of transacting donors or donation volumes, and then what growth rates are this year.
Sure. So I'll start off with averaging maybe the last few years' trends. On average, annual basis, we facilitated 31 million transactions. So annual transactions. We love that number because if you divide how many seconds there are in a year, it's almost precisely 31 million seconds. So we can say that roughly we facilitate one donation per second. Although that figure is not 100% accurate, because there are some peak hours where people tend to make their donation. And I'm going to let you guess, I think for once, I'll be the host that will ask you a question. Can you guess, Ellen, the time of the day where most of our users use Kitabisa to make a donation?
This is after 7:30, once dinner is finished, the family's settling down, and people are thinking about what's happened throughout the day, what challenges their neighbors and countrymen have, and that's when they decide to push the button and donate. Am I right?
That's a close one. So evening time is in fact the second highest time of our usage, but the first or the highest peak usage of our mobile app is, as a matter of fact, at 5 in the morning. So when people just got up, for the Muslims, after they finish their first prayer of the day, then they make charity to kickstart their day. And that's something that blew our mind away, because that's something that even I didn't do back in the days. Now I adopted this user behavior because I'm inspired by the way people have that intention to kickstart their day by doing something good. And now there's no excuse. If it's raining, they can't go to their mosque or whatever place where they normally give charity. Our app is there to help them. And this is done by hundreds and thousands of people. Because on average, in a month, about 300,000 to 400,000 people are transacting on our app and also website. And having that kind of behavior present in our user base, I don't think that's something that is replicated in other use cases like commerce. I don't think people wake up and then they buy something all of a sudden, or maybe even like the Gojek or Grab, people have to get ready and then they start ordering for the commute. But probably we're one of the first app that people access in the morning because they want to start their day with charity. So I think that's a bit of numbers that I can share to start with.
Okay. A, my answer was completely wrong. And B, what you've described makes a huge amount of sense. I myself like to start the day with my best behaviors, whether that's exercising, calling family, checking in on others. And it's quite fascinating. That is a driver for your top period of donation being 5 a.m. Now, obviously, this being Indo-Techno with an emphasis on the impact of technology, Vikra, share with us the most impactful examples of how our application of technology has revolutionized this sector in Indonesia.
Sure. And again, being completely transparent, Kitabisa is not a high-tech software business. We basically created a platform. We designed mechanisms for anyone, communities, nonprofits, even individuals to raise money online transparently and then giving them avenues to be responsible and accountable of their fundraising efforts by disclosing how much funds have been raised, what are the posts that those money are being used for, whether it's still being escrowed in Kitabisa or whether they have dispersed and withdrawn the money for the intended usage. So this kind of things we facilitate on our platform. Again, the very reason why we exist, or like the ikigai of Kitabisa, is because we've seen the generosity of the people and we don't want it to be abused. We don't want it to be misused. And we've seen bad actors all over the place, all over the world, right? Now, having a platform like Kitabisa, we hope provide an avenue for more people to do good, whether that's by initiating a fundraiser or by supporting one in a more confident way, that they can be confident that the money will be put to good use as intended to the right person. So I think technology really helps in having built this type of platform that makes it more safe and transparent to do such activity. Obviously, number two, with the mass adoption of e-monies and digital banking, and one of the most game-changing one from Indonesia, obviously, is the KRIS, or the Nationwide Universal QR Code. I think with that, a lot of people have, you know, access to transacting online. So we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years, e-money such as GoPays and KRIS actually starting to overtake the traditional like virtual account payment method. Now, for those of you who's not familiar with Indonesia, credit card is really small, penetration is low. So that's why the charity is a bit different to Western online philanthropy where you can just tap and forget your donation, right? Here, people are more intentional. They pick their cause and then they donate maybe smaller amount, but on a regular basis. So I think that's where technology plays a part in facilitating this generosity.
Understood. And I have to ask you, what are the greatest challenges in ensuring that the platform is not abused or used for untoward reasons?
Yeah, as exciting as the progress of AI is happening in the world, I don't think it's able yet to verify or track how a fund is being used. So the idea of our multiple layers of verification is, number one, very basic KYC. Number two, we verify each cause. So for instance, if it's a medical fundraiser, then we would ask for documentation supporting the condition of the patients. We would cross-check with our hospital partners because we have had a network now of over 200 hospitals nationwide that connects with Kitabisa directly. Then we also verify each withdrawal request. So it's not like an instant where platforms overseas or maybe locally, they disburse the money instantly to the fundraisers. For us, no. Money is escrowed and pooled temporarily with Kitabisa, and each fundraiser has to make a request for use of that funds. So we get to at least verify on three fronts, right? From the KYC, then from the campaign validity, and then on each withdrawal request. Those are like the gates. Those are the filters to ensure that money is being put to good use. But the last remaining layer is when the fund has been transferred to the beneficiary, the intended beneficiary or the campaign organizer. I think that is an area where it still requires a community governance. Hence, we also rely a lot on our communities of users, our communities of nonprofit partners to really oversee this whole ecosystem, making it safe and sound for people to give. Because once that money changes hands, I think it's already beyond our control to know how it's being used beyond what is reported by each of the fundraisers. So we do one or two things to try to mitigate risk. For instance, again, I keep referring to medical example because almost half of our fundraisers are medical in terms of category. We try to disburse directly to hospital as much as we can whenever it's directly linked to a hospital treatment. But also we can't universally apply it because sometimes even for medical category, funds still do need to go directly to the beneficiary's bank or family's bank accounts for other uses too. So those are just some ways that we keep iterating the process of verifying as well as monitoring how fundraisers are being run in Kitabisa. And that's something, it's an ongoing continuous iteration.
I can imagine. Now, Bikra, you mentioned the potential tensions in priorities in this business, but how do we negotiate between the rigors of growth and profitability associated with being a startup on one hand and our charitable mission of quote-unquote, connecting kindness and generosity, as we state These mandates are often quite incompatible, yeah?
No, I think that's the blessing of us doing this with a social entrepreneurship mindset. It has to be made very clear that we do this using a for-profit model, although we do have a nonprofit arm to process donation, all that. But this is run as a for-profit, which means that we wanted to do this sustainably. We have to have a clear revenue model. As for those of you who's curious, our main revenue model comes from our platform fees for the crowdfunding platform. We do provide additional services, like we have an agency arm that supports nonprofits as well as corporate like CSRs. We have a media company that helps amplifies our messages. It's more of a homeless media. We now more recently, as we've just shared, have an insurance company with a Sharia license. So it's more like a digital takaful, which basically takes our take rate upfront as opposed to putting the premium and claims as part of our revenue and expenses. This could probably trigger a discussion on its own, like a podcast session about how Islamic insurance is run compared to conventional insurance company. But in a nutshell, that is how we operate and how we balance generating revenue and also creating impact, because we believe that it's a double bottom line. It's not something that is against each other. It's supporting one another. So if we help facilitate more donations, it means hopefully more people are getting the funds that they need for whatever causes that they're championing or they're raising. But at the same time, we can fairly also take our 5% for crowdfunding to make the business more sustainable. Similarly, in the insurance front, the more people participate as members, it means that more people are protected in the community. At the same time, we also get our fair share of operations to be able to finance and sustain this whole ecosystem.
It's good to hear that there's a number of current and I would assume even potential revenue streams going forward. Now, I noticed, Vikka, that you are an Endeavor entrepreneur. We've had a number of Endeavor entrepreneurs on the Indotechno podcast, and I haven't asked any of them, and as a result, wanted to ask you a specific question. What are you most commonly, quote unquote, giving to the Endeavor program? And what do you most often come away with as an Endeavor entrepreneur?
I can't stress how grateful I am to become part of this network. The Endeavor entrepreneur community is one of the most unselfish, open, generous entrepreneurs, experts, and obviously seasoned business people and professionals who've got nothing but their spirit of giving back and supporting one another. I think we've been an EE since 2020, just before the pandemic, because I remember we got in just before the pandemic. And I think I've been taking more than I give, because I try as much as I can to share whenever Endeavor has an event or has a mentoring or like sharing session between entrepreneurs. Then I try to give back, but I completely believe like I've taken a lot more from it. Each month, at least, I've asked the team to connect us with people that we want to get their knowledge from, and we've got nothing but all out support from them. Any of you entrepreneurs listening out there, you should check out the Endeavor entrepreneur community. And it's one of the best community that I've joined today.
Now, I wanted to make sure that we spent some time for the benefit of our foreign audience, in particular, comparing Kitabisa to other crowdfunding platforms globally. You, for instance, mentioned GoFundMe. Where are we most similar and where are we contrarily most different?
I think on the surface, we are very much like GoFundMe in terms of the platforms that we provide. But I think our uniqueness is because we go deep on the local market. And I think it's justified because Indonesia is a large enough market for us to focus on. We have a lot more depth to our operations. We've seen such model applied similarly in countries like India, again, another massive market. We see the crowdfunding platforms there focusing a lot locally and also going deeper into the ecosystem compared to global players. I don't know if there's a second one to GoFundMe nowadays. There aren't Facebook fundraising, which really only provide surface level service of fundraising. I think they can do so because they've got a massive global reach. But for us, because we're focusing on this local market, it means that we can go deeper and build stronger grassroots networks for like the nonprofits, hospital partners, communities, local influencers, for us to be able to keep delivering new services that aren't suitable and aren't identified as a need in the local market. So going into insurance, for instance, is one example, right, out of many, where we develop an additional service that is inspired by a local need.
Got you. Now, Vikra, our board at Kitabisa includes some fascinating and very accomplished individuals. I see you have a former Minister of Communication and Information Technology, Urudi Antara. You've got the founder of Mapan and the ex-GoPay CEO, Aldi Hariopratomo. I am, however, most keen to understand how the Bukalapak co-founders, Ahmad Zaki and Bajran Majid, ended up becoming board members. These guys, as many know, are among the true OGs or original gangsters of Indonesia's e-commerce stores. So what is the story there?
They are the true OGs indeed, man. We're so grateful. Without them, I don't think Kitabisa will be around, because at the time we were out of our runway, and then we spoke with them, and maybe out of mercy, out of pity, out of inspiration with our pitch, they helped connect us with individuals who ended up becoming one of our seed founder, right? 500 startups. They also put in support early on. So they're, in fact, is one of our first angels, aside from the professor who runs the social enterprise, who incubated us initially. Man, the community in Indonesia, I believe everywhere in the world, entrepreneurs supporting one another is so important, because we at the time were very new and clueless about where we can take Kitabisa. Zaki and Fajrin has just been super supportive throughout our journey. Even now, even on our last fundraising round, they talked up. Obviously, not that they IPO'd Bukalapak. They're the investors now, but Aldi as well. Aldi is an amazing person with his achievements, both in Mapan and GoPay. So the idea of entrepreneurs supporting one another, some of them now more strategically sits on our board, is just a way for us to keep learning, keep being motivated by the people who have succeeded before us. And also for them, I think it's a way that they give back to the country, to the community as well. So I think it's a mutually beautiful thing that supports each other. But yeah, I can't say nothing but great things about all of our board, especially the OG, Zaki and Vajrin.
Excellent. It's been a great story to have come to know from afar, and it's wonderful to finally hear it firsthand, being Kitabisa. It's been a fascinating discussion about Indonesia's clearly proud tradition of philanthropy and what Kitabisa has done to make giving and charity even more frictionless, transparent, accessible, and trustworthy. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Alan. Stay kind, stay blessed, everyone.
Thank you for that. We hope our listeners have enjoyed today's episode. As always, please consider sharing any feedback that you have about the Indotechno podcast with us. Terima kasih. Sampai jumpa lagi.